Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Good morning, Doug.
It's a very sad morning. Not a sad morning, but a different morning. It's back to the old days. It's just me and you, Dan. We're looking at John's empty bar stool. It's kind of sad. He's been a staple here every Sunday morning, but he's off playing in Pandora, so I don't feel too bad for him.
No, not at all. If he had to miss the show, that's a real good reason, being at Pandora and hopefully checking out one of the new attractions. So we'll give him a pass. We'll still give him a hard time, but we'll give him a pass.
Oh, we always give John a hard time. That's our job, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, if I filled out a resume, I'd put as an attribute, breaking John stones. Very good at it. But yeah. Hope him and his family are having a great day today. I hope I'm looking forward to his report. I forget what ride he's going on today, if it's Flight of Passage or the river, Navi River, but I'm excited to hear about either one.
Yeah, all the buzz down there the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and now one of our own is getting to experience it. So I'm looking forward to his reaction and what he thinks of it. I mean, I really haven't heard one negative report from anyone, and there's some cynical people on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, but I got to say, everything I've heard out of Pandora, you know, aside from the massive lines, but that aside, has all been positive.
Now, I like the show, and I listen to it here and there. I don't listen to every episode, but I used to. It was one, yeah, and for no other reason than we do this, and we have so many friends of our show. But I haven't listened to Diz Unplugged yet, so there's a good possibility
right.
If you want to hear something negative, you could go over there, and there's probably something going on because. I don't know. There's most times they'll find the negative spin on it. And I know I'm guilty. I know I'm the ranter here. But my rants aren't because I'm trying to be mean or anything like that. And I'm not saying they are either. My rants are not because I get more mad for the community and what the money aspect and them taking advantage of our loyalty. You know what I mean? It's just raising the prices because they can. I do the same rants about Eagle season tickets. They'll go 6 and 8 and I'll raise the tickets by 10%. I don't get that. I mean, and I'll cry about that. Does it mean I'm not going to like the Eagles forever? But I think there's a good chance if you head over to Disney Plus, there might be something negative.
Yeah, at least about the food anyway.
So exactly.
Kevin usually does a good job at dissing the Disney food. But that's his thing. And again, it's not a bad thing or a good thing. He's just he's super critical, particularly on food items.
Oh, and Pete isn't too bad himself.
No.
No, I was cracking up I'm not. I've watched so many of their because I do watch your YouTube videos and all, and I've seen them eat at Paddlefish and different restaurants, and everybody at the plate will have a great time, and then you go to Pete, and it's like, oh, here we go. What's going to happen there? There was one extra potato. If we would have had 5 potatoes, I'd have been happy, but they gave me 6. Who? Now they're making me eat the 6th one. There's always a problem. But anyway, you're right, then. For the most part, I haven't heard a single thing negative about Pandora.
No, and that's saying a lot. I mean, Joe Rohde earlier in the week he put out that little video with one of the banshees there, the ones you can buy, and kind of goofing around with that. And
well, you could buy. Apparently, they're all gone.
Yeah, you can't get them. I didn't know if they got reloaded again, but I know that opening weekend they did sell out, and those were, what, $49.99 a piece, $50. So, yeah, they're very popular right now.
By the end of the day, we'll find out if they were sold out, because if they're available, Lisa's getting one.
Yes, John already made that point.
Yeah, John's going to be a couple Golden Monkey short today. He'll be getting a Banshee.
Yeah, good thing he wasn't doing his $80 a day in Pandora, because he'd be short.
Yes, he would.
$30 to spend.
But no, I'm really looking forward to it myself. Me and Brenda were talking earlier today, because we were upstairs, and this morning while we were getting ready, we were doing some cleaning and getting the Sunday chores ready, getting ready to get on with you. And we were watching our good friends. I do that a lot. I put on The Adventures of Peas and Carrots.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having fun. We were catching up on all their shows. They do a great job. They just did they were up in New York City. I meant to mention it before, but they were in New York City. They did they went and seen the 9/11 memorial and the church, the chapel and all there. So it's a really good episode. They got to figure out what a Northeastern was, Dennis.
Oh, yeah? They didn't have that down, did they?
No, they said, we're down south. We don't know what a Northeaster is. But apparently it means a lot of rain. And they couldn't have been – they were absolutely dead on. But it was a shame. They were in New York City during the Northeaster, and it was raining their entire trip. But they did make the best of it. I give them credit. They had a good time. It was very interesting, the show. They went down to Chelsea Market and – like I said, went to 9/11. They did a bunch of things, and it was a really good episode. I enjoyed it. And I don't know. I want to get up there. I haven't seen that yet. Have you, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times. We've been down there, you know, a handful of times since my son's been down there. And that was one of the things we did. One of the first things we did was visit the 9/11 site. And, in fact, the first time we went down there, it was – I'm going to say within 6 months of the event happening. And it was pretty scary, if you want to say that, because they actually, all around the site, they had it all fenced in, obviously. But they had, military personnel with M16s and attack dogs just like every 10 feet around the perimeter. So not only was it an extremely sad situation and sight to look at, but, you know, the heightened awareness, I guess, of just seeing, you know, in the middle of New York City, you know, M16s out, locked and loaded and ready to go. It was, it was
pretty eerie.
Weird, yeah, to say the least. But it's beautiful.
You didn't have any mutton in your pocket, did you?
And mutton? No. Why would I have mutton?
Don't you remember that episode of Seinfeld?
He
didn't like the mutton, so he was sticking it in his pocket, and he's walking down the street, and the dogs are attacking Elaine because she took his napkin, and it was full of mutton. But I don't want you getting attacked by any attack dogs.
No. But, I mean, I haven't seen that particular episode of Peas and Carrots. I'll have to watch it. But, that's something that if you're going to go to the city, you should make an effort to see it. It is, and it's beautiful now. And
it's without a doubt we'll be going to see that.
And it's a lot. I mean, now that it's been, a good length of time away from the event, it's, a true memorial now, and not as, it's not as raw to the nerve as it was when I went back, 6 months later. So it's different, but it's also beautiful. And the new building is pretty amazing too. The, I forget what it's called.
The new tower, the Liberty Tower. The Liberty Tower?
Yeah, I think that's the name of it. But, to stand under that and the way the design is, the angles of the building, you can stand directly under it and look up, and it kind of bows out towards you. It's weird to look at from that angle. It's just pretty amazing.
Or is it the Freedom Tower?
I'm not sure what it's called, to be quite honest with you. I thought
we'll
it was
Dave
the one
from we'll have Dave from the Mickey Dude screaming at us.
Yeah, somebody will set us straight, I'm sure. They usually do.
I know, and the sad part is I know guys that work on it because there's our union. Some of our union members have been up there. And I know guys, tile guys that come down because we have certain jobs where tile guys will come to – because we did a couple Tishman buildings and stuff like that. And Tishman is one of the big builders up in New – they actually built that tower.
Right.
And they we're talking about it and all the stuff in it, and it's a beautiful, and I've seen it, it's beautiful, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I'm looking forward to seeing all that. I want to take Brenda up hopefully in the fall and go up and see the Chew and make a day of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've gone back and forth. I mean, we're not big city lovers, I think, but it's all right once you get there. The hustle and bustle of getting there and the traffic and all that is a pain. But once you get there and get, moving around, it is pretty nice.
Yeah, you'd rather go 16 hours than 6.
Yep. Yeah, I would much rather go much further south.
Absolutely. But no, they did a great job. I enjoyed their show. And one of the things that was cool about it, Carmen, on one of the most recent episodes, poor Brian was feeling under the weather, so Carmen went over to the park on their last day by herself, and she got on Living with the Land early in the morning. She was the only one on the boat, the only one on the ride, and it was really cool seeing her go through. And the reason I'm segueing into that is our good buddy Bob did some couple really good articles on our website, It's All in WDW, of Living with the Land.
Yes, I saw them. They were good.
Now, did you answer all the questions? Did you do the?
I thought I was taking my SAT test for getting into college or something there for a while. Yeah, there were quite a few questions. I did do them all. Whether I remember what I wrote for an answer now, I don't know. But yeah, there were I think 6 questions, or at least 4, anyways.
It was actually 7, Dennis.
Okay.
7 questions.
All right, I knew it was more than normal.
But if you head over, we won't give the answers away because the poll's still on there. But Living with the Land was originally opened in 82, 84, 86, 88, or 90.
Yeah, I stink at trivia. I have
I actually put 82 down. That was my answer. I'll put myself out there.
All right.
And as of right now, that has 40% of the vote. So go over and give your votes. in the prairie scene, how many buffaloes roam free?
No idea.
2, 3, 4, or 5. I actually picked 3 because I thought it was 2 full size and 1 baby.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I know there's a baby one, and if there's a mother and a baby, and then maybe another male, so 3 would work.
And that's leading the vote right now with 62%. So I think I'm good on there. In the farm scene, what sits on top of the mailbox? Now, you should get this. A squirrel, a blue jay, a rooster, a cat, or nothing?
I would say a rooster.
Very good. That's what I had picked, too. And that's leading it with 78% of the vote right now. In cooperation with the USDA during the ride, Living with the Land presents a peek inside their agricultural college, biotechnology lab, Department of Vegetation Sciences, and Aquatic Center. I put biotechnology lab is what I picked.
Yeah, I think that's it. Although I kind of wanted to go with the aquatic center because of all the fish and stuff and the alligators and all that. But I think you're right. I think it's the first one.
So it's 60% of the vote. Aquatic center had 14% then. So we're going to go with the bio lab.
Okay.
We'll go with the bio lab, buddy. Okay, there are 5 distinct areas of Epcot's living laboratory. Which of these is not one of those areas? The Tropics Greenhouse, Aquacell, Laboratory Greenhouse, Temperated Greenhouse, or String Greenhouse?
Temperated Greenhouse, I'm going to go with.
Okay, and I put String Greenhouse is what I picked. And String Greenhouse, String Greenhouse has 50% of the vote, 49%. Mm. And then all the others are pretty close. I love this ride. I've done it so many times. Living with the Ram replaces a former attraction called, we know it's not the Circle of Life, the Living Lavatory, Listen to the Land, or the Western River Expansion.
We'll go with Listen to the Land.
You're very right there, Dennis. That is 52% of the vote right now. And then Each ride through Living with the Land takes blank minutes, 13 minutes and 15 seconds, 15 minutes and 30 seconds, 17 minutes, 19 minutes, or 21.
I'm going to go with 13.
All right, I took 15. Let's see what it was. 15 has 41%, 13 has 27%, 17 has 18%, and then blah, blah, blah. The last one is the attraction is currently sponsored by Kraft, Ford, Chiquita, whatever the heck that is, Nestle's.
Chiquita Banana.
Chiquita, Nestle's or Publix?
I'm going to say Chiquita Banana.
All right. I said Nestle's, which I know it was, but I don't think it is now. And it's actually Chiquita Banana has 45% and Nestle's has 39%. So they're very close. But go over there, guys, and answer. Give your answers to the poll, which Bob did a couple days ago. And then the last one he did was, which is a really good article, which you guys should go over and vote for us if you could. It's remember, he's always done this series, and he has been a while. Rehabilitate right. or eliminate the living land or leave it alone.
Right.
So what do you want to do? Rehabilitate, leave it alone, or eliminate?
I'm going to rehabilitate. I like many facets of the attraction. I think it's salvageable. And if they would enhance or maybe freshen up some of the scenes, even change out whole scenes, because a lot of the audio animatronics are a little old in the tooth. But I think that it definitely – I don't want to see it ripped out and replaced. I want it rehabilitated.
No, me and Bob both agree with you, but it's pretty close. Right now, if you want to get your votes in, rehabilitate is 52%, leave it alone is 40%, and eliminate only 6%. So there's been quite a few votes since he dropped this morning. There's already close to a couple hundred votes going on.
Well, I'm hoping that, like, this isn't really a dark ride per se, because it obviously empties out into the greenhouse and it's as bright can be. But
it's still it's in the dark ride family.
Yeah.
It's a light dark ride.
Yeah, let's call it that. And I'd like to see a couple of those make it through all of this at Epcot and you know, come out the other side. So, you know, not that it was my most favorite dark ride in Epcot, but it is one that I do enjoy. And I'd like to see it stay. I mean, if they rip it all out, I don't want to just see some as cool as a new Pixar or something would be, or, you know, anything like that. I mean, I'd welcome that with open arms, don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I just want some of the old time stuff to stay. So in that regard, that's why I'd prefer it to see it rehabilitated as opposed to, you know, ripped out. And because to me, if they rip it out, then they're going to do something significant and it'll probably totally change, you know, to something that I don't know if they'd keep it with, you know, in with Soarin' and whatever else is in that land. But I mean, maybe, like I said, maybe they'd go like Nemo just up the road or something like that. We'd get some sort of
overlay.
You know, right. Yeah, overlay with a newer movie, I guess, or newer characters. And like I said, I don't want to – I'm personally – selfishly, I don't want to see that.
No, I don't either. I mean, I said rehabilitate myself. You know, I've always been on bring back the skippers. I mean
– Yeah.
I want somebody – it would be nicer to interact with somebody. That's the thing I liked about it, where you could actually ask questions and they would answer while you're on the ride.
Yep.
It was a different spiel every time. It wasn't the same rehearsed thing.
Right. And that's a people eater. I mean, you know, it's a great diversion if, you know, you're doing standby or your fast passes aren't quite up yet. I mean, you can go through that. And we just said it takes, what, between 13 to 17 minutes, depending on what the answer is. So, you know, you can eat up some time. And, you know, is it an exhilarating ride? No. Is it something that's going to, you know, get your heart pumping? No, but I mean, you learn a little bit, and it is cool. And you know, I particularly do like the you know, the fish and the alligators and how they show how they, you know, make the food for Epcot. And then of course, you know, we've all got a kick. That was one of the first things that you know, really impressed me when I went to Epcot years ago, was, you know, how they made the, you know, the tomato, the watermelons and the tomatoes, it's shaped like Mickey's head, and the giant lemons and all the stuff that's in there that, you know, I've never seen anything like that. And, you know, the, what do they call it? The hydroponics there,
yeah,
where
well,
they feed the plants without any soil. They just do it all by, you know, water and hanging in like PVC tubing, it looks like, or something like that.
Yeah, well, we seen that back in 97. That was like groundbreaking to me. I was like, holy moly, look at that. I mean, that's the future, baby. 20 years later, it looks old, but it's awesome. I love the – I mean, I love the whole ride. I want them to keep it. Of all the things that need to be both of the interventions areas need to be redone.
Yeah.
Where the Pixar movies are, we're going to talk a little bit of that in the news, but it is no big big news story. It was just closed for a little bit. But the word, the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience needs to be redone. Figment needs to be updated. I mean, there's so many things that need to be done. Living with the Land's the least of our problems right now.
Right, you would think. You would think.
But I wouldn't even mind, like, remember how I even spoke about, like, Ratatouille back in the France Pavilion doing something with food? Like, I wouldn't even mind if they did an overlay or put a couple scenes in with some of the Disney characters to tell the kids why to eat their fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. I'd be okay with that as long as they pretty much left it the way it is. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. And as we know, they do use, at least they tout this in the literature, and it's on signage there. I know that, you know, a lot of the food items that you've seen being grown in that greenhouse are used at Walt Disney World restaurants. So, you know, the head of lettuce you see in the morning could be on your plate for dinner that night. I mean, it literally, they use the stuff. So they could integrate, like you're saying, you know, talking to the kids about fruits and vegetables and all that stuff, and maybe get them to order a salad or eat a salad at night as opposed to French fries and chicken nuggets. You know, and say, hey, you know, this is what we saw earlier in the day. So, you know, that thing that Epcot is famous for, that edutainment, as they call it, you're learning something and you're also having fun, too.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, if they wanted to do, I don't want to see it go away because I love the ride. I mean, it's one of the things that take me back to my first trip there. And they're becoming more few and far between, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, so that's the deal why I don't want it to leave. But like I said, I wouldn't mind. I would like to see the captains come back or more interaction on the ride, because I think that livened it up quite a bit, because it's very mundane when you go through now with just that recording going.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead spots where you're just cruising along and there's no information coming over the loudspeaker, and you're just kind of quiet and to yourself. And it wasn't never meant to be that way. And you remember years ago with the skippers, if you got a good one, there was interaction, maybe a little joking, and you'd get more info than just the base, you know, this is
moving
is that.
Up here is our catfish.
Then
you'd also see some people working in the labs, because last trip down there, me, Mark, and Jimmy, there was a lady and a gentleman that were in one of the rooms working. Well, when you used to have the skippers, they'd kind of say, there's a couple of our cast members working on blah, and they would do with their own little detail on it, which was very cool. Like, now you just say, they'll wave to you maybe if you're lucky.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of impromptu. They would, you know, get in a, maybe not a conversation, but maybe, you know, just recognize the cast members. But, and again, we've talked about this. The studios in general has gotten away from that whole thing with the scene shop when you used to be able to do the backlot tour. I mean, that was, you know, the woodworking shop, the seamstress shop, all those things used to be buzzing with activity. And as well in this attraction, the, you know, the folks that work on the vegetables and the gardening and all that, agriculturalist or whatever you'd call them, you're right, you'll see them occasionally, but it's still not as robust as it used to be, I don't think.
No, and it's just sad. Like, but again, I don't want to see it go away. Carmen had a lot of fun. She said it was weird doing it by herself, but it was a lot of fun. And if you guys get a chance, head over and check out our good buddies Brian and Carmen. They do a fantastic job. I mean, I love the Adventures of Peas and Carrots. What I do is I binge watch it a lot of times. I might miss a week and then I see four in a row, you know, but I make sure I see every episode. They do a wonderful job. I just wanted to mention them because they're always so kind to us. They talk about us. And her and Judith will pick on us all the time on Twitter, but we enjoy.
Oh,
we
too.
Know it's fun. And I don't know why they pick on us then. We're always so nice and kind to them. We never say anything negative about anybody.
No, it's, we're not like that. And, I think Dave did us in that show we did with the Mickey dudes. That really rubbed them the wrong way. Not the Mickey dudes, Judith and Carmen, because we let something go that we didn't let them get away with. So we're kind of in trouble. That's why I'm kind of looking forward to the next show with them and kind of not looking forward to the next show, because I think we're going to get an earful.
Yeah, it's coming up soon. But the way I look at it is you know how you have all your kids, you have kids, and the better kid never gets away with the same thing that the brat gets away with. Sometimes you just got to pick your battles with the brat. Like, we expect more out of Judith and Carmen and Jen, and because they're not rule breakers. Dave is. He's always in trouble. So of all the things that he does, That was the least of our problems. We wanted to let him have another drink so he could calm down a little bit. We don't want to fight him over that. But we know Carmen and Judith, even though Judith acts like she's, oh, I'm a rule breaker, she tweeted, but she's no rule breaker. She's a good girl. But anyway, that's why we don't let them get away with it. You know, you had separate rules for your daughter and your son, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, that's
even though you don't usually admit it, but it happens. You knew where to pick your battles with each of them.
This is true.
So that's why, guys, we still love you. We just had to let Dave get away with it a little bit. And we're looking forward to the next show. We're going to have the girls on very shortly. We're going to have another ladies' night real soon. So we're looking forward to that. But, again, head over to the Adventures of Peas and Carrots. It isn't just Disney World, even though it's mostly Disney World, but they go to Carowinds. They did they went to New York City. Then they do I can't even think about it right now. In Virginia, what is that theme park in Virginia?
I don't know. I'm
losing my mind. We were just watching that the other day. I'll think of it as the show goes on. But anyway, go over to the Adventures in Peas and Carrots and check them out. They do a fantastic job. And we're going to head over to the news now, Dan. What is anything happened at Disney World this week?
There's always something happening in Disney World. Let's see. We kind of referred to this in last week's news, and lo and behold, here it comes. Mobile order coming soon to 5 Magic Kingdom restaurants. It didn't take them long to kind of roll this thing out. So My Disney Experience mobile order will be available at 5 Magic Kingdom restaurants this summer. Tomorrowland Terrace Restaurant, Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe, Pinocchio Village House, Pico's Bill's Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, and Columbia Harbor House will all offer the phone-based ordering system. These extremely busy restaurants should really benefit from the new system, which allows you to pay for meals on the go within the My Disney Experience app, bypassing the queue to order at the restaurant. Using the app, you can select menu items, customize an order, and prepay for a meal. Arriving at the restaurant, you'll tap an I'm Here button in the app, which will notify the kitchen to prepare your meal. When ready, you'll be alerted through the app to pick up the meal at the designated window. Only credit card payments will initially be accepted via mobile order. Disney Dining Plan guests will have to use the regular line. Mobile order debuted at Satori Canteen and Pandora, the World of Avatar, and will be joined later in the summer at Animal Kingdom by Pizza Fari, Flame Tree Barbecue, and Restaurantosaurus. And they had a video here that showed you how to use the app. You were kind of not really too keen on this. What are your thoughts hearing that it's now coming to your favorite counter service restaurant?
Well, my wife and me were actually talking about this morning, and she called me out on being a knucklehead. Because I said, and I still admit to it, I don't know what I want a lot of times until I get there.
Right.
So, I mean, what am I going to do? Do the walk-in, do the order, and then push the button and not stand in the line? I mean, possibly I could do that, but
right.
I like the experience of being in the line and, like I said, watching the food pass me and just – getting my food. There's something about that. I mean, my wife and one of the things we were talking about the other day is the way everything is going in this world, it's starting to really get scary.
Yeah.
We're all going to be Wally soon.
Yeah. That's just funny you say that because, you know, we were not kidding, but when we talked about all this technology 2-3 years ago when we first heard of My Disney Experience and all this, pretty soon you'll just be ordering, you know, from your room, you know, and all those things are starting to come true now, and it is scary, and, you know, again, we're the old grumpy guy saying, give me back my paper fast pass, you know? I mean, I don't know. I kind of liked having that thing in my wallet or my fast passes in my top pocket going to the attractions. Everything's electronic and everything's technology now. And, you know, I guess it's an improvement, but I don't know. I'm a little scared, like you said, because here's my biggest fear. Just like when I check in at a Disney resort, when they always tell me, go ahead to the parks, Mr. Conroy, we will text you when your room's ready, and I never get a text. My fear is I'm going to order this meal, and it's never going to tell me it's ready, and I'm going to have to fight through the line to get up to the front and then ask somebody, how come I never got a text or whatever it is, and my meal's not ready. That's my fear.
Yeah, and there's nothing like interacting with a human being. It's like it's to the point where I seen a video the other day with self-driving tractor trailers. And who wants a tractor trailer going down 95 with not a driver in it? But the point is, what about that guy's job?
Yep.
I mean, and you'll hear people say, well, they have to build them. Well, they had to build regular tractor trailers. What's the difference? Yep. It's just now there's not a guy getting paid to drive it. And it's like everything. Like, we're all going to be sitting on that spaceship and just sitting there like blobs with virtual reality glasses on like Wall-E soon.
Yeah, yeah. That scene from Wall-E, you're right, with all the big fat people on the things and, you know, eating the food and all that. I mean,
they have no idea they're not in real – they're in virtual reality their whole life.
Yeah.
Poor Wall-E's left on loan looking for a plant to grow.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, again
–
Until I use this, I'll reserve my final opinion on it. But I mean, I suppose assuming I knew what I wanted before I headed over to, let's just say Columbia, if when I walk in and, as soon as I hit the button, within a minute or two, my meal's ready and I can, move on and grab a table and eat. If it works as seamlessly as that, I guess it'd be a positive thing. But I don't know. I just have a feeling it's not going to be as seamless as they make it out to be. But,
The point I'm making, the thing, and my wife goes, I think this might work for you, because we're talking about the Columbia, and I'm saying the same line. She goes, well, last time I was with you, I remember that little kid was driving you nuts because he was screaming, yelling, running in and out of the lines. You had to finally say something. She goes, no, maybe this is good for you to keep And the point of it is, I mean, the kid was like, I understand at Disney World, I'm really not a funny dud, but the point was, this kid was going like above and beyond, like, and his parents were just so tired of dealing with him, they just didn't care.
Right.
He could have punched a cast member in the head, and they would have just totally ignored it.
So they gave up, and basically they said, let him aggravate everyone else.
Exactly, and they just let him go. He was a terror, and. But the point I'm making is does this mean now that three more cast members lose jobs, basically?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
because it's going to go directly into the cook. It ain't going to go to a cast member. It's going to go probably into the computer, into the dining, into the kitchen.
Right.
And there'll be one person at this window compared to three people working line. So, I mean, is that how it's going to work? We're going to lose employees?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but I look at it like this. I'm going to give Disney the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they came up with this to cut jobs. I think they really came up with this to try to expedite the dining experience and get guests in and out of the restaurant so that they can continue and enjoy their day. I'm going to give them the credit that's why they did it.
To goodness that you're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we like I said, it may not even be a good thing. I haven't really talked to anybody. I don't know if you have, Doug, or heard about anybody that's used this and has an opinion one way or the other. I haven't heard.
No, we will, though. I mean, I think John might try it at that cantina, I thought he said, or maybe. We'll have somebody do it. There's only one place on Disney property that I could use this for. You know where that is?
No, I don't.
There's only one place that I can 100% guarantee I know what I'm going to want, and that's at Rosa Crown. I have Baggers and Mac.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, second of all, at a Spice Road table. But I still wouldn't know my whole order, because I know I'm getting the spicy garlic shrimp, but I don't know what the other two plates are going to be.
Right.
Until I get there, I sit down, I order my Greek beer, start to chill. I want to grab the menu and look at it and tell my wife how beautiful she looks tonight. Look at that great drink. You just got your sunrise. Hey, baby, ain't this view beautiful? What are you going to have? I mean, it takes away all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least unless I'm reading this wrong, I mean, there's going to be a special line for this, and they're still going to keep the other lines open, unless your thought is if it works well for one, eventually there's two, and then there's half and half, and then eventually it just goes all to this. I mean, I wouldn't want to see that, but as long as they're going to keep the traditional – way to order available. I don't know. I guess I don't have a problem with it.
It's like my Target right now. My target, I'm going to call again this week and complain, because that's what I do. If I can't say it if I don't do something about it. I remember when I first started going to my Target, there'd be girls waiting at the end of each aisle. I didn't mind paying a couple extra dollars because the service was so phenomenal. Now they got new management there. They cut half their staff the way it looks like, and they went to self-checkout lines. Now you can't – there'll be two aisles open and four and five people deep every single Saturday you go there. The beauty about Target, well, you might as well go to Walmart because that's what you expect there, waiting in long lines.
Yeah, I was just in Walmart yesterday, and they had two new self-checkout areas. So what used to be, you know, a cash register and a bagger or whatever, now is just one cast member or clerk, whatever you want to call it, watching four registers. So you're right. I mean, people are being, you know, they're losing their jobs basically due to this. And, you know, I see it in Target, you see it in Home Depot, all the stores, the major stores are starting to do it.
And I refuse to use them, dude. I mean, me and my wife, a couple times, like at Acme, because I know how to use them. I'm very electronically, I know how to use all this stuff. It's not difficult. But the point of it is, it becomes difficult when you got 50 things in your basket or 20 things. The self-checkout should be designed for, I run in Home Depot and I forgot a couple fittings. And I want to run out the door, or I forgot to grab paintbrush rollers or something stupid like that where you just want to go in and out. It's not designed to have a whole basket full of stuff. And that's what ends up happening. The poor clerk, you'll watch him. I'll stand there. He'll be running back and forth, or she will, between all four aisles because the person grabbed peppers and don't know how to weigh them on the machine. This happened. And then you don't have the employees there, and then they're backed up, and everybody's miserable. I like my Target because I could go in and out the doors. Yeah. And now it's not that way, and now they're trying to make more money, and they're making the experience worse. So I don't even want to go. I'm like so pissed off of my Target that I'm going to call every week until I don't care until they get tired of hearing it from me.
Right. Yeah. No. It's a perspective, and you know, I do believe that, you know, the retail stores, they're certainly doing that to you know, save money and cut jobs.
We're going to lose all interaction with human beings. Like, isn't it nice when you – like, I go to my depot, even though they see me coming, I still have friendships in there. I know Becky. I know Janet. Every day I check out. Hey, how you doing? How was your weekend? I can't talk to the freaking self-checkout. How was your weekend there, Mr. Computer? I mean, it's like it's like to the point where our generations 10 years from now, they might as well not even have a voice. All they need is a machine to text on. It's like there's no human interaction. I watch the kids now. They don't even know how to associate with each other.
No, it's crazy. And, you know, with kidded about, you know, and don't ever ask them to make change. That's forget that. I mean,
or write cursive now. Cursive. Right. Oh, God forbid.
Right. Everything's emojis and, you know, sign language, not sign language, but I know what you mean. It's the way the world's going. And unfortunately, fortunately,
it's not always a good thing, though. I'm not trying to be a fuddy duddy because the reason we do this show is because I love the technology. I get to talk to you every day on Skype, blah, blah, blah. But there's still a part of that. Our friendship wasn't complete until we met each other, Dan.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And
that's the point. I like talking to the cast members when I get my food or order my food or ask them a question. How was your day? It's like there's no. It's going to be totally all that is going away slowly but surely. And it's sad. It's very sad.
It's touching our fun place, unfortunately. I mean, we're seeing it back home, like you said, but it's also – you know, when we go on vacation, we got to experience some of the same things we see back home. So that is unfortunate.
No, it's the same way. Like I said, when you're checking in, you're going through the turnstiles. You know, it's like that's all an experience. Even the guy that gets on your nerves, you know, do you feel bad? Like he ain't getting on your nerves because they have a job to do, and most of them are nice. But you interact with the guy doing the bag check. You do this. Pretty soon there's just going to be a conveyor belt that runs everything. You might as well just sit on it and ride right through there, and they'll scan you and drop you off in the park.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, I will – I mean – there's ways I could see this being an advantage. I just hope the bottom line is I just hope a lot of cast members don't lose their job because of all this.
Yeah, you're right, and I do too. But unfortunately, I think that's going to be collateral damage. Whether it's intended or not, I think it's going to be an unplanned result.
Yeah, well, hopefully you said you hope Disney's only doing it for the experience and people won't lose their jobs, so hopefully you're right.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Again, this was a couple days ago. Typhoon Lagoon closed early due to an unplanned maintenance, so something blew a gasket or a pump went down or something. Not sure, but...
Somebody, John peed in the pool?
Yeah, he wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
Let's see here. Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival closing for a week-long refurbishment. The Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival in Epcot's Future World is closing for a short refurbishment later this month. The refurbishment begins June 12th and goes through June 18th, reopening to guests on the 19th. Located in the Magic Eye Theater at the Imagination Pavilion, the attraction gives guests a chance to view three animated shorts in 3D. The shorts currently playing are Get a Horse, For the Birds, and La Luna. It's kind of weird that this is, to me anyways, that it's closing for a refurb in the middle of one of these. I don't know. It just seems like it just opened. I mean...
Yeah, maybe they're having a problem with one of the cameras or the video or one of the machines, or maybe there's something wrong with the screen. I have no clue. Or maybe they're changing out a film.
Could be. I would think they could do that without shutting it down, but who knows? But anyways, it's
Maybe they're repainting or cleaning something out in there, that's all. Maybe something happened that way. Or it could just be something as stupid as it was scheduled and that's it.
Yeah,
it's
maybe there's no mystery.
Might just be at the beginning of the year, we're going to clean out this pavilion on this week, and that was it. You know, fresh it up. And that's probably the end of the day. That's probably the story there.
Yep, we don't need to come up with any deep meaning behind it. It's just scheduled.
I do like this better than Michael Jackson, I'll tell you that.
Well, that ain't saying much, right?
Not the performer, but the show.
Yeah. Right. D23 Expo to feature a dedicated pavilion showcasing the upcoming Star Wars-themed lands. The D23 Expo 2017 will feature an entire pavilion to showcase the Star Wars-themed lands coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios and Disneyland Park in 2019. Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, A Galaxy of Stories, will offer a preview of the land, including the premiere of a detailed model of the 14-acre land. The preview pavilion will also showcase the locations, starships, droids, and creatures that will be part of the Star Wars Land Village. We also expect to hear more about the project in the Walt Disney Parks and Resorts panel presentation at 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 15th. So, I didn't realize this was coming up as quickly as it is, but we usually do get some good nuggets of information and visual, whether it be movies or props or, in this case, a model being unveiled of the, upcoming stuff. I remember when they had it, we saw a lot of stuff about New Fantasyland and the Magic Kingdom, and it looks like we're going to get a first 3D glimpse, at least in model form, of Star Wars Land.
Yeah, what do you find, you know what pisses me off about that whole story, don't you?
They didn't mention Toy Story Land?
Yeah, like why? Like why is Toy Story getting to be coming second fiddle here? And the thing of it is Toy Story's been part of the family a hell of a lot longer than Star Wars has.
Yeah, that's true.
Pixar started with Disney. Star Wars didn't. I mean, it's just, I don't know, I'm more excited. I'll be very excited about Star Wars Land. If you look at the, if any of the photos come even close to what the projections look like, it's going to be phenomenal.
Yep. Oh, but, go ahead.
No, but I just want more. I mean, why couldn't you put a tidbit there so they're going to tell me nothing about Toy Story Land? What they hold in this? Was this going to be a complete mystery until it opens?
I don't know. I got to believe they'll say something, but at least for this bit of information that we're putting forth, it does not mention Toy Story Land. And you're right. It has been taken second fiddle to Star Wars Land, but and I don't know what you're right. Maybe they're just trying to hide. You know,
I usually am. I'm kidding.
No, but I mean, it just you're right. Whenever there's a story that comes out or whatever, it's always a maybe throw something in at the end about Toy Story Land. It's never the lead story, and I'm gonna assume that they're spending $2 for every one they're spending at they're spending $2 for every one that they're spending on Star Wars Land. So maybe that's why they figure they need to get their investment back. But I would agree with you. Given the two, I much prefer Toy Story Land, but that's me.
The biggest thing I'm looking forward to is Slinky Roller Coaster.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait for Toy Story Land. I can't wait for either, but if they both opened on the same day and I was only allowed to go to one, I'd be, you got a friend in me. Friend in me. I'd be riding on that Slinky Coaster with my arms up in the air screaming like Andy. You know, that's just me, though. I mean, and I know our buddy John would be saying arrivederci, and he'd be headed over to the cantina in Star Wars Land.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why they make vanilla and chocolate.
Yes, and we're vanilla then.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that big time. I'm looking forward to D23 big time, hearing everything that comes out.
Yeah, I enjoy those. I've never gone to one, and if they had it in Orlando, I might try, but it's a West Coast event. But I do like to follow along on Twitter, and they usually do live blogging. So even if you don't go, you're pretty much instantly, there's videos out, and people are, you know, filming on their cell phone, even when they're not supposed to. And the information gets out, right? All weekend long, it's just one nugget of information after another. It's kind of exciting.
No, dude, I cannot wait for the for D23 to come out. Hopefully I will get to hear something on my beloved Toy Story Land when it's all said and done.
You will.
So
let's see. Oh, you sat with that.
I was just going to say, what's up next?
Yeah, effective today, Disney is enforcing, FastPass Plus usage terms and conditions. Beginning June 7th, so they've already started this, Disney will be strictly enforcing FastPass Plus terms of usage and make the system fairer for everyone. Let's see what people are doing. In particular, the rule regarding FastPass Plus reservations only being made on tickets used for admission into a park will be enforced. From the official DisneyWorld.com website, the rule states, the valid theme park admission associated with your site/app account and used to make FastPass Plus selections must be the same valid theme park admission that you use for entry into the park on the day the FastPass Plus selections are redeemed. If you have previously made FastPass Plus selections on tickets not used for the theme park admission that same day, your My Disney Experience app may be temporarily locked, and the app will prompt you to speak to guest relations, where you'll be lashed with a or called the My Disney Experience Support Center. Continue attempts to make FastPass Plus reservations with tickets not used for admission that day may result in permanent loss of access to FastPass Plus. Wow. You can read more if you want. The enforcing of this rule comes as abuse of FastPass Plus has become widespread, with visitors using friends' tickets, expired tickets, and other methods to obtain more than allowed amount of FastPass Plus allocation per day. I didn't realize this was a huge issue. Did you?
No, I don't. Again, people know more than us about how to cheat, beg, borrow, and steal. Yeah, I don't know all those rules. I'm lucky I can get my one fast pass, let alone cheat and get ones from other days and stuff. I mean, I'm glad they're doing this. Now, you're going to be put on the Disney Most Wanted list at Town Hall?
Yeah, they're going to have to open up a jail where they can put these abusers in, and, you know, people can come by and throw citrus swirls at them or something as they're going by the square there. I mean,
get some peanuts and popcorn, throw at them.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you always hear stories of people, you know, trying to skirt the system, like I said, but according to this article, it's widespread, so this must be a huge thing. Now, so if you had an annual, I'm trying to see how you could get more than.
Yeah, I don't know how they're cheating.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So if I have an annual pass, I can get FastPass Plus. I mean, are they saying if I had an old ticket that was expired, somehow you could get that? I don't know. I don't get that. I really don't get it. But people smarter than me, I guess, figured this out.
Tech geeks. After reading that whole story, Dan, it made me so hungry. I wish I could head over to the Joya Tea and get the Lucky Combo. which is a curry chicken pocket with your choice of two egg rolls, a soft drink, and an ice cream for $10.98. I'll tell you what, the Joy of Tea at the China Pavilion is one of the best deals on Disney property. Now back to the news.
And Pat thought he was off the hook this week.
Park hoppers for all, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Doug can carry the show for a little while.
Me?
New Express Transportation Summer Pass available for pass holders. The all-new Express Transportation Summer Pass is available exclusively to pass holders for $59 and offers express transportation service between theme parks from now through August 10th, 2017. The Summer Pass offers a significant discount over regular pricing of $19 for a single-day ticket or $29 for a seven-day multi-day ticket. Applicable annual passes must be valid for admission to all four Walt Disney World theme parks on all applicable dates between June 5th and August 10th, 2017. The Express Transportation Summer Pass is non-transferable. So the Express Transportation services we've covered before, departs every 30 minutes, is available each day from 10 a.m. until park closing, travels directly between each of the theme parks with no other stops along the way, lets you off inside the main gate so you're in the middle of the fun from the moment you arrive, gives you unlimited transfers between all four parks for as long as your Express Transportation ticket is valid. You check in for this service at the Magic Kingdom near the exit of Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin at Epcot, the east side of Spaceship Earth, Disney's Hollywood Studios, the courtyard in front of Rock and Roll Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, and Disney's Animal Kingdom Park near the entrance to the Daiwa Bar. And you can purchase the Express Transportation tickets at all four theme park ticket windows and guest relations, Disney Springs ticket window, Disney Resort Hotel concierge locations, Walt Disney World Swan Hotel, Walt Disney World Dolphin Hotel ticket desk, and the kiosk at Express Transportation check-in locations. So now, what's the motive behind this?
The first thing I think of is, for this stupid thing that they bang you over the head with to take more money out of your pockets, I can get there's like 9-10 different places where I can get tickets to ride the bus to pay them to ride the bus. But me as a travel agent, I got to go find it. I got to go beg, borrow, and steal to find my area to get my redeem my tickets. They give you two places. Like, I can't redeem my tickets as a travel agent at my hotel or get my voucher. But you buy theme park tickets at my hotel, can't I, then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can pay for this bus, but I have to go to guest relations in Disney Springs or the front of the Magic Kingdom to be able to get any of my tickets. It's insane how they could figure out in a moment's notice all these different places where you could pay extra for your bus ticket, but I can't get my tickets anywhere but at one place.
Yeah, the point is they can do it if they want to do it. They just don't want to do it.
Yeah, you got to jump through 57 hoops. You do get taken care of, but you got to – it's kind of like – I kind of put it as the same way with the – what they do for us agents is the same way they do with, like, when you buy a tool and it has a lifetime warranty. They make you do all this crap to send it in. They're hoping that you won't do it right so you don't get it.
Cut out the UPC, make a copy, turn it upside down. It's got to be in red ink. It's got to be sent on an odd day through the post office if the sun's out. If you follow all of those, you'll get your rebate back.
Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. They're hoping you get frustrated and just give up.
It's like so sad. Like you get a rebate in a store and you got – why can't you just give it to me? You got a computer. You can scan anything you want. You can charge me from the moon to buy these shoes. If I'm on an airplane, I could buy a pair of shoes in Hawaii. Yep. But I can't get my redeem. I can't redeem anything at the store. I mean, it's a pain in the you know what, and it's wrong. Yeah. And just like this whole Express thing is again, they're charging you this. They came up with this buses because the monorail is garbage at the three major resorts to go over to Epcot lately. I mean, all we've been hearing about the monorail being broken down and all that. And transportation is horrible. And that's the reason why they created this. And instead of them giving it to you like they're good, they're going to whack you over the head. Yeah, it is reasonable. It is a much better deal for $59. But now they're hoping to even grab you for that, hoping you do a second trip within that frame. I mean, it's only good for season pass holders. You still, right. If you're going to do a one-week trip, just do the $29. I mean, and it ain't going to make or break a single person. But again, if you're a family of four or five, now it's another $120 to $150 for Disney transportation for the week.
Yep. Oh, like we said, rent a car. You're better off.
Yeah, and it's just so sad, though. I mean, like, Dan, don't you think that this trend, again, I've said it 1,000 times, this should have already been in place and been adequate. I've been in argument with a couple of our listeners and friends of the show, and there's always been transportation between parts, but it's always sucked.
Right.
It isn't what it should be.
Yeah, and that isn't true either. Years ago, there was no transportation between parks. It was only from resort to park, and you know, you had to use either Disney Springs or ticket and transportation to, you know, get on another bus to go directly to a park. I mean, from the recent past, that is true. They have had direct park, park to park, but that hasn't always been. That's not true.
Yeah, it would take forever. Sometimes you'd wait forever for that bus. Now, they're guaranteeing you every 30 minutes, which Disney standards, there should be a bus every 30 minutes regardless.
Yeah, 30 minutes is kind of a long wait, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. There's a few hours off your trip.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know. I guess because we've been going for so many years and we've said it, and I know you'll come back with me, it's not free, but in my mind, it's always been free because I haven't specifically paid for that in my
service.
Bill.
Service, right.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get how as many people isn't pissed off about this as they were about – more people were pissed off losing the appetizer and free dining than they are having to pay for friggin' transportation. Does that make any sense to you?
No, but – that did upset quite a bit of people.
Holy moly.
I mean, there's people to this day that don't use a dining plan because of that.
and the whole refillable mug thing was more than this.
Yep.
I mean, I don't understand how this doesn't bother people, how you're like you're anxious to pay for it. Yeah. Just like, and I love you, Judith, just like you pay them for that extra parking. Yeah. Whatever happened to getting there early and you get the good spot? Whatever. Right. Again, it's all turning back to a society that you don't have to work for nothing.
Nope. You can just pay for it if you want to get front row parking. I'm interested to see whether this lasts or not. I mean, I don't know. To me, if they were making money hand over fist at $19 a day, they would have just kept it the way it was. So maybe the reason they're doing this is it's not as popular as they thought it was going to be, and this is a way to, you know, justify keeping it around. I mean, maybe it won't last the summer, or it'll go away in the fall. Who knows?
Maybe it should just freaking be there for free.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen, but, I don't know. Do you get the sense it's as successful as thought it would be?
Every time I've seen Carmen and Brian, like, do it, as far as – I know they did it a couple times, or I know at least once. They were the only one on the damn bus.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, and that's a shame, too. Now there's all these other people that could be taking advantage of it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, myself, I don't know if I would ever use it. And that's different than saying I agree with it being there or not. But I mean, you know, nowadays I would just bring my car, you know, first and foremost. But I guess if I didn't have a car, you know, we typically strike out in the day. And, you know, I know you do things differently. You tour slightly different. Mm-hmm. Usually we'll stay at one park for the day. Usually. Rarely we might go over to Epcot at night. But I don't know. I don't even think I'd use this even if I had to or wanted to. I might take an Uber or a cab before I do this, I'm guessing.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't use it because I've always had it. I've had a car forever now. I stopped using Disney transportation probably back in 04, 05.
Yep.
I see, you know, you've known since you've known me that I've bitched about it. And I usually don't bitch about a lot of things. It's just not my nature.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing it is now they're making everybody, and everybody that I watch their vlogs, like our friends over at The Happiest, they're using cars now. you're using car again, and then so many others are using their cars on their trips now. Disney has made it to the point where they're making you use your car. It's gotten to that point. If you want, now they're going to start charging for parking, and you're letting them by like easily paying for the preferred parking. Pretty soon, it's going to be. You got it at the Animal Kingdom. An elephant's going to be 50. A giraffe's going to be 20. The rhinosaur's going to be 10. You picked a lot. It's just like, how much is enough, guys?
Yep.
If they don't – there's been a couple things where, like, what was that one show that they dropped the price on because nobody was showing up for? Remember, we couldn't believe they dropped the prices on it. If you don't go, guys, things will – they can't change them if you don't feed into it. And you got to stop feeding into it.
Yeah, it's kind of like government, though. I look at it like, what did we cover last week? The preferred parking in the parking garages.
Yeah.
And I can just see it. I can see it coming, you know, 6 months or a year down the road. They're going to say, well, you know, we're just going to charge a buck a space. It's just a nominal fee. No big deal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that's how they get their foot in the door. And then,
They do their 17% escalate. Next year, it's $2 and $4. And it just – or you could buy for the whole week at Disney World for $59 the privilege to park wherever you want.
Right. Which
that's
is
coming
the way
next.
It used to be, you know, when we started going. But again, I just would say it like this. In 5 years from now, I don't think I'm going to be parking for free down at Disney Springs, whatever that means, whether they charge you, you know, part of your package or whether you, like you just said, you buy an add-on or they got a meter of some sort in the parking structure itself, just like, you know, downtown Philly or downtown Boston, like you would pay if you went into a ball game. We're going to be paying, I believe. I hope. I'm wrong, but I believe that's coming.
I believe in the next couple of years there's going to be a one-time payment like this for your week for your parking on top of your normal parking. So if you're a resort guest, you get your parking for free with this $59 add-on, and you'll be scanning your freaking Magic Band at the green garage, the orange garage.
Yep.
When you go into the parks, you'll have that band on. They'll scan you just like they do now. To see if you're at a resort, and that's how it's going to be. I 100% think it's going to happen, and I guarantee you I will be writing, calling, pissing, and moaning as much as I can about it just because it's wrong. And I'm so mad, I'm headed to the Joy of Tea then.
All right. And with that, let's see. Tickets are on sale now for the 27th. I was going to say the Joy of Tea, Night of Joy. Tickets are on sale now for the 2017 Night of Joy concerts at ESPN Wide World of Sports. You can buy tickets online at disneyworld.com.go events/Night of Joy purchase/. This year, guests attending the event will be able to buy a concert only or a concert plus theme park ticket for either evening or both nights. And we covered this already. I know that Disney is offering a $20 premium upgrade to sit closer. Hey, here you go.
They
Disney
added this. This is what they added. Yeah.
A $20 premium upgrade to sit closer to the stage at Champion Stadium in a reserved section. Single night concert tickets only will be $45 plus tax in advance. Two night concert only will be $69 plus tax in advance. Add on premium seating for $20. Add on one day at Walt Disney World theme park ticket for only $62 plus tax. Add on theme park ticket option is good for use any one day, September 8th. September
30th.
8th through 30th, 2017 at one of the four Walt Disney World theme parks. The two-night concert plus one-day add-on theme park advance ticket will also include one admission to your choice of Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon for use between 8 to 30 September. Individuals must purchase by August 8th to receive a water park ticket. Groups must purchase by August 25th to receive a water park ticket. And again, Friday the 8th, Mercy Me, Toby Mac, Natalie Grant, Danny Gokey, Matt Mauer, Colton Dixon, Wren Collective, Zach Williams. And then on September 9th, on the Saturday, is Amy Grant, Stephen Curtis, Chapman, Kirk Franklin, Jordan Feles, Crowder, Jeremy Camp, and Ty Tribbett. So here we go. They're again, for an extra 20, you can get a reserve seating, they called it, not
And yeah, again, it's showing kids that if you pay for it, it can get. Instead of you having to be the first one there in line, like, you know, well, remember back in the day you wanted to get tickets, you would get the, not me, because I never cared too much about stuff like that. But if you wanted tickets to stuff, you got your lawn chair out and you went and sat in line until the ticket booth opened. There's none of that anymore. The kids don't have to do anything except for ask for an extra $20, or if you have it, you could pay an extra $20. Now, they just added that to this. So instead of the people saying, I can just see the friends now. What we're going to do is we're going to get there first thing, and we're going to get there early so we can get up front and see our favorites. And then they're being told now, nope, you have no shot at that, because anybody that has money can each pay an extra $20, and you get pushed back further now. Yep. It just takes away any motivation from people. As long as you have the money to pay for it, you're good.
Yep. Unfortunately, that looks like what's going to happen here.
With everything down there.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be. I mean, what's it going to be soon, Dan? I mean, I'm saying it tongue in cheek, but for an extra $25 per day, you can get to the front of the line at Rope Drop.
Yeah, well, that's the big one that we're hoping never comes. We covered that, you know, a couple years ago now. But, you know, when you start this class warfare that, you know, well, if you stay in the deluxe, you get this, or you get first front of the line. But if you're at the All-Star Movies, you get, you know, you don't get that privilege. That's a road that's a tough road to go down.
But I'm talking about an add-on for any resort. For an extra $25, you Rope Drop's at 8 o'clock, say.
Yep.
So a lot of people show up at 7:30, so they're up at the gate. Mm-hmm. Nah, Doug and Dennis, we paid our extra $25. We just walked by all yous. Ha ha, we slept in. We just ate at Kona. Ha ha, we had breakfast at the Contempo Cafe. Ha, suckers. We paid an extra $25. We're going to walk right by all you idiots and go into the park because we're better than you because we paid the $25. The heck with teaching your kids get up early, show up at the park on time, get to be first in line. None of that matters. Just go pay the extra and fix the problem.
Yeah, because I think that they have a version of that at Universal. And, you know, we were hoping that Disney doesn't follow suit with that. But I believe if you pay, I forget what it's called because I don't follow Universal, but I'm pretty sure. I think it has to do with the fast
Express Pass or something it's called.
It's not exactly what you're saying, Doug, but it's the same principle. If you have more money to pay, you get more privileges, it boils down to.
Exactly. Yeah, I've been waiting for Pandora. Nah, I paid this $25. Yeah, you wait in a second. I'm going by you. I just don't like it. It takes away all it just ruins things. Like, I like the idea. If you want to get up and go do it, you get up and go do it. You deserve it.
Yeah,
because a lot of people don't even know about some of this stuff. If they're not, they wouldn't. I bet you half the kids didn't know there was a $20 extra for Night of Joy.
No, probably not. And you know, and you can attest to this. I know you've done it, although maybe not all the time, but you've done Rope Drop at the Magic Kingdom and when the train used to come out and all that. And but it takes some commitment to do that. I mean, you've got to really, you know, sacrifice maybe a little touring the night before in order to get your rest, to get up early and plan how
get
you're going
to get the family
grab
all together, get them out the door. Yeah, chop chop like the Brady Bunch out the door to get in the car for vacation. But that also teaches kids and people about work ethic, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, it might sound stupid, but if you want to be the first one in the park, you got to earn it.
Yep.
Not just pay for it. Don't let daddy earn it or somebody else earn it or whatever. I know you maybe earned it at work, but it's just not right. There's certain things that you should have to just do to be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, what's that commercial they used to have? It's not your father's Disney World, you know, when you always say, you know, it's not like it used to be. And it's true. You talked about the retail stores and all walks of life or facets in our lives. But unfortunately, it's going to our happy place now. And that's what we're starting to see it, too. And it's a little disturbing.
It's just like our stupid beaches here. I flip out about it all the time. I mean, you gotta pay to get on the freaking beach.
Yeah.
We have beach tags in New Jersey. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's a couple that don't have it, but Wildwood's the only one that don't have it. Every other beach, you have to pay for a beach tag to go on the beach in the summertime. Now, what kind of crock of crap is that? It's nature. Nobody owns the beach.
Don't you love that some politician sat at some meeting and said, this is a good idea? You pay your taxes, right? You work hard, you do all this, and if you want to drive to the shore and, you know, pop up a tent or lay down a blanket, you can't even do it without paying a – basically, it's a tax, right, is what it is.
Like, I'll pay my property tax. I pay for to get on the expressway. I pay to get on the parkway. I pay to freaking park. I pay to go out to lunch, dinner at the boardwalk.
You pay gas tax.
Yeah, and then I got to pay to get on the beach. It's like, I don't understand it. And we have a state tax here in New Jersey. There's no state tax in Florida.
Right.
So how come we have to pay – how come we have to have an extra beach tag when there's already a state tax? Like my one friend, Miss Zimmerman, who owns a house in Ocean City, and I know people say if you can own a house there, you can afford the taxes. But it's just the principle of it. The amount of tax she pays to live there in Ocean City on the beach – and then she has to also supply beach tags for all of her kids and so people staying at her house.
It's per individual. So to your point, if a family of eight comes over, you got to have eight additional tags plus your own, so nine total?
Exactly. To go out on a beach that you pay for by paying state tax.
Now, I got to ask this. So do they have like a beach cop or something? Yeah.
Dude, yes. And me and my brother, I told the story, I don't know if on this show, a few years ago, we're doing a house in Avalon. It's during the middle of summer. And at lunchtime, me and my brother walk over to there's a little wooden boardwalk bridge, like takes you onto the beach from the street. Mm-hmm. And because of the sand dunes, it's in between the dunes and all. Now, me and my brother are both in our construction boots. We're in wife beaters, like
tank tops.
You're
on your lunch.
Yeah, we're on lunch. We go walking out on the beach just to look at the ocean. We're like maybe 10 steps on. We get this snot-nosed little, where's your beach tiger? I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? You better get off the beach. You got no beach tag. I said, dude, you better run. I'm just standing here. I mean, I'm working on a house, paying for, I pay for this beach, and I got some kid yelling at me. I know he's doing his job, but, we're in construction boots just standing there looking at the ocean, and I got this little kid chirping at me over beach side.
But I'm curious about this now. So is it something like you wear like a lanyard? Is that how,
no, it's
how
a, it's
you?
A, it's a little plastic tag. It's kind of like a name tag, but you put it on your swim trunks.
Right, right. It pins on or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Ain't that a crock of a you-know-what?
It's crazy. But, I mean, we get some weird taxes up here, too. And, you know, even to go to the state beach, I mean, you know, it used to be, again, years ago, a couple of bucks. Now, I don't know, it's $20, $30, $40 for the season or whatever. It's crazy, you know. And like you said, it's a state beach. We all pay taxes. And then on top of that, you got to pay another tax. It's just we could go on and on about this.
I forget what it is. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's probably 40 50 60 bucks a year to have this beach tag just to walk on the beach
for a summer for 3 months or 12 weeks, whatever it is.
And you could buy a single day one, you know, I mean, it's like a few bucks. It's like, are you kidding me? After you pay $12 to $15 for parking, and then you pay for three or four or five kids for beach tags, it's like you just it's just the principle of it. Just like know how your brother, did your brother ever pin you down or a friend ever pin you down and like poke you in the center of your chest?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's like. It's not going to kill you, but it's the most annoying thing in the world. You just want to – it just puts you in a bad state of mind paying for it.
Do they write a citation if you
– Yeah, you get a ticket. Get I forget what a $25 fine.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, it sounds like they had summer kids doing it or something. But if you give the guy or woman too much grief, they're just going to get the regular cop, and then he'll make you pay him, right?
Oh, absolutely. Then you'll get a summons for disturbing the peace and get really whacked over the head. It's just annoying. Like, I've even said, and I don't think it's fair to charge anybody because, like, you'll hear people say, like, as being a state resident, I think you should get one with paying your taxes for your family. If you live in New Jersey, for what we pay, I could even see a little bit if they charged out-of-staters to go on the beach.
Yeah.
But even with that, most of the people going there are renting the house from the people who are paying the taxes.
Right.
They're coming down there. They're the ones supplying, keeping the economy going. And you want to – that's what I'm saying. It's like I love Disney. And I love all of it, but it's the little things like the beach tags, the nickels and diamond is what drives you nuts. It ain't going to make or break, but it's like your brother poking you in the chest.
Yep.
It's just annoying. It pisses you off.
It's frustrating. And, you know, and I always say, why do they do it? Because they can. And that don't mean they should, like you always say. And it is true. But unfortunately, people are, whether they be politicians or be corporate CEOs of major theme parks or whatever, they're all money hungry. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And if they think they can get away with a little beach tag or a little $20 preferred parking and bring in X amount of money, they're going to do it. And it's sad, but that's what they do.
It's just like sometime enough is enough. It's just like I've said it, the ballpark. Why is Chickie and Pete Fries 10, right. 12 hours there and I buy a whole basket right. for $2.50? The guy still has to pay for his store. The right. restaurant is gorgeous. It's big. It's just okay, $8 is not enough. It has to be,
And it's a shame because the answer is real simple. I mean, in a perfect world, everybody would say, you know, stick the beach. Nobody go. Leave it sit there empty. But we all know that's not reality.
Because they love it.
98 degrees and it's hazy and hot and people want to get out of the city and cool off. They're going to go to the beach, right? But if people wouldn't go for a day, they'd get rid of them in a minute. They want the people there to support the restaurants and bars and stores and all that stuff, like you said. That's the way the economy works.
But that's the deal. Like, the first few knuckleheads felt, okay, the beach tags will keep the riffraff off. You'll hear all the upper crest, this is our beach, lovey. We'll go out there and we don't want all the others down. And then everybody else started paying for it anyway. Now they're pissed off about it. But you know what I'm saying? There's certain beaches that started it where like Avalon and different places like that. They were like the Hamptons around here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll charge these beach tags because we want to. They want to keep the island to themselves. Is the way
right,
it works.
Right.
And no, dude, I'm here in Lambstown. Well, then why am I paying when Sandy comes through for your dunes to go back up?
Right. Right.
I pay the same tax as you do.
Yeah. Even though you live inland or whatever, you're right. Everyone has to, you know, pitch in and contribute to the greater good. But it's a one-way street sometimes when it's the other way. Like when you want to use the beach, they don't want you there. They want it all for themselves, like you said.
It backfired on them is what it ended up happening. Now we're all paying for it. And the other bottom line is it just annoys you. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just one of those things that's very, very right. annoying. And like you said, and you'll have the people that – the point I was trying to make is you'll have people that tell you the Jersey Shore is better than Disney. Like, you're going to Disney. Let's rent a house for the week at the shore is all you get. I mean, it's like – I don't understand. I hear people from all over the place talk about how much they love the Jersey Shore. I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it. I've never gotten it. I mean, even as a kid, I would go to Myrtle Beach.
Right. You'd prefer to go there.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we go on spring break, we go to Myrtle Beach. We had the whole Jersey Shore we go to every time we want. I rented house a couple weeks every year. We went to Myrtle Beach. We wouldn't go. I stopped going to Jersey Shore when I was like 20, 21 years old.
Yeah.
Every year we would go to Myrtle Beach or, you know, Outer Banks. You know, we'd go south.
Yep. No, I can't say I disagree with you. It's the same thing up here. I got no use for the beach and all that. I mean, I'd rather go to, you know, anywhere but here.
How does South Carolina and Florida get away? Two of the Daytona Beach and Myrtle Beach are probably two of the biggest beaches in the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
How do they get – there's no beach tags either one of them.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I can drive my freaking car on Daytona Beach.
You can. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how you get away with it. I really don't.
Yeah, it's just I think there's such a saturated population levels up in the Northeast that, you know, there's just not enough room. And for every 10 people that won't pay it like you, there's probably 30 that would throw their money at it. So they figure they're going to make – if they don't make it on you, they'll make it on someone else. That's how they look at it.
I'm just going to have to go to Avalon and open up a Joya Tea stand.
There you go.
Have to have lucky combo for 10 bucks and make a deal down there.
Yeah.
What's up next, then?
Yeah, mobile stages coming to Star Wars, a galaxy far, far away, easy for me to say, in a continuing effort to free up more viewing space for Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular at Disney's Hollywood Studios, further changes are being made to the Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away stage show. All these things are named almost the same. I can't keep them straight.
Galaxy away, far, here, there, everywhere.
The show is now closed for refurbishment through June 15th, and when it reopens on the 16th, it will use mobile stages in place of the existing permanent stages. Each of the mobile stages will be positioned each morning and then removed following the final performance of the show prior to the nighttime shows. With the new stages, more viewing space will be available for Star Wars: A Galactic Spectacular and the recently opened Disney Movie Magic. So yeah. I guess this makes sense, right? Because they show the movie on not only the main facade of the Chinese theater, but the buildings on either side of it, too. So that would make sense to me.
Now, does this, and I don't know because I'm an idiot that usually says he knows everything, but he don't, but he does. So who knows? But anyway, does this mean that maybe the rumor from last week's show that something's going to happen to the Chinese theater might really be happening to the Chinese theater, or they're making these mobile viewing areas, so if they do something with that building, that you could still see the Star Wars show?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, my thought is, or my theory is, that even if it goes away, that the facade itself will stay, even if they gut out the building or raise the building behind the Chinese theater, because I think that's just like a facade. It's not, you know, it's not a full building. So that's what I think will happen, but that's just me.
No, I hope it does, Dan. But I mean, is there going to be like a big Star Wars weenie put there?
The
Millennium Falcon might go there. Who the hell knows? I mean, it just, I don't know. Them putting this up and all the Star Wars show being there, wouldn't the Star Wars shows be more impressive on a Star Wars building?
Yep, you're right. It would be. I wouldn't want it.
Maybe
but
the
I,
Death Star?
I can see that.
And I'm just speaking out, you know what, because I don't know the names of all this stuff, but ain't the Death Star something really big in, big in Star
it's
Wars,
big and
too?
Round.
Yeah.
And round.
Yeah, so maybe they do another spear, or they might do something. Because if this is going to be the way it sounds and the way it seems, that Star Wars is going to be the main theme for a long, long time at this park, and I don't see this Star Wars fireworks show going away. I think it might last as long as Illuminations.
Yep.
So I don't know if they're going to want to keep the Chinese theater as the backdrop to that. I hope they do, but the little guy is telling me, my brain is telling me that we might be seeing the last of the Chinese theater over the next couple of years.
Yeah, that would make sense, and you're right. If the Star Wars attractions and parades and nighttime spectaculars are going to make up, let's say, 60% of what's at the studios, it probably makes sense to, you know, go all the way and do what you just said. Put a Star Wars type weenie in there and just be done with it. And then if they change, you know, Hollywood Tower of Terror to Guardians of the Galaxy and some of those things, I mean, and we never really got an answer to this, and I don't think we have to date, that, you know, whether there's ever going to be a name change or, you know, whether, you know, truly is it going to be a studios going forward? Probably not, or it's very little of it is going to have to do with anything about the making of movies. It's more going to be a celebration of Star Wars and a little Pixar, too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it might be just changed to Disney Studio or Disney something that way. I don't know, because Universal still kept the name and they don't do anything, but they're Universal because it's all their it's the whole of one.
Right.
So Disney Studios could still be Disney Hollywood Studios, even though it isn't a working studio. Everything in there is based on film.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I guess it would fit.
You know, because Toy Story, Star Wars, it's all part of the family of film. So yep. I could see that. I think the Chinese theater is the least loved out of all the Disney main icons.
Oh, I agree. I love it, but I agree with what you just said. I think the average guest couldn't give two you know what's about
because
that.
Because a lot of them, they cried more about the hat going away.
Right. I totally agree with you. I don't think there'd be any love loss in the Disney community if that was to get the wrecking ball tomorrow.
I think it would make me sad. Yeah, I think it would be like 70-30 then. I still think the knuckleheads prior to 2004 or 5, whenever the hat went up.
Right.
Before that, us, we're old school, we'll miss it.
Yep.
And the great movie ride, we'll miss it. The younger generation, they'll be out there with – no, they wouldn't. They'll be out there on their – I was going to say they'll be out there with sledgehammers, but no. They'll be out there on their phone telling somebody to knock it down for them.
Yeah, they'll be telling somebody on Twitter what's going on.
They'll be flying a drone with a hammer on it into the building from their couch in air condition. I'll tell you what, I am really scared for the building trades over the next 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, where are your craftsmen going to come from? You know, there's no apprentices to speak of. They don't want to get up. I mean, who's going to build all this stuff, you know, 10, 20 years from now?
Yeah, because the last time I checked, there wasn't a robot that can tape.
Right.
and that's the bottom line. Like, and what cracks me up is everybody wants to know why. Like, everybody argues with the price of the contractor. And again, nobody could, like, teachers and doctors, nobody can do their job without us. You come to work with me for a day and think that I don't earn my money. I'll laugh at you.
Operate outside in 20-degree weather, Doc.
Yeah. Like all you'll hear is, and God bless these people. I mean, they are saints, these Doctors Without Borders that go over into these other countries and operate in these areas. And all they'll talk about is how terrible it is to have to operate in tents and bungalows. Well, how do you think we build them? Yep. Let them operate here a few times in some tents and not these buildings that they get with these plush lounges and studio. And they deserve it because they went to school. But don't tell me what I deserve to make when I come to your house.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying there are thieves out there, but it's like any bill that we ever give is like we're gouging you.
Right. Really? That much?
Yeah. I'm sorry I'm charging you $500 to put a couple windows in. My apologies. Oh, but you want to charge me $75 for an Advil? When I that's okay. Yeah. My prescription to go pick it up, it costs Merck $30 to make it, and they're charging my insurance company $400. That's fair. Thank you very, very much. Oh, that's your third Mercedes. God bless.
Yep.
But you know what I'm getting? I don't know. But us pre to 2005, we'll miss it. We love it. But now the newer generation, because of it being covered by the hat, I don't think it was as loved as much. And a lot of the things that all the newer generation seen on it wasn't half the movies didn't go with them.
Right, and I think plus where it's a it's a third party thing. Yeah, it's a real theater in LA or in California, but it's not something from the Disney history, or it's not significant in Disney history, I should say. You know what I mean? Like if it was Mulan's from the movie or something, it might have more of a love, but it's really just a cool looking theater facade is all it is. So I think that in itself lends it to not be adored by masses of Disney fans.
And I think that's where they dropped the ball for so many years. I mean, that was one ride. It wasn't like Pirates or Haunted, where they had their own themes and they slowly updated. Like the Haunted Mansion and Pirates both did their little thing with Depp, and the Haunted Mansion did it with the viewing, the lighting, how you could see everything better. You know what I'm saying? They enhanced it.
Yeah.
Where the Great Movie Ride was, the way I always took it, it was supposed to be a ride, in my opinion, that would update a little bit throughout the years, and it never did.
Right. I think their intentions were to update it, but for whatever reason, they never did or really did. You're right.
And I think they dropped the ball by not adding some of the newer great movies and great Disney theme movies. I mean, we've said 1,000 times they should have put Frozen or not. And I'm just saying it because it's new now, but Lion King, they should have did some. They never really put much in there with their own characters. And
right.
I thought after the last deal, when they did the upgrade, didn't you think they were going to do that?
Oh, yeah. And we were very happy that Turner Classic Movies, did what they did. But you're right. Yes, they kind of saved it at that time. But I think you're right. We were a little disappointed in that we thought there'd be more change to the actual movies that you saw in the pre-show. And maybe even some of the scenes would change, maybe not significantly, but at least some. And it really didn't change at all. And I think you're right. They've lost the ability to kind of bring the generations along by adding movies that were more current to when those people were kids and going to the movies and all that, where they just kept all the old ones. I mean, yeah, all the old farts love it, but there's nothing for the newer generations to really glom onto. And even a lot of the movies that we would think are contemporary in that now are 20, 25 years old. They're way old, let alone all the black and white stuff. I mean, the average kid, they don't care about that.
as crazy as it is, maybe you put a car in there from Fast and the Furious or something within
anything,
this decade, you know, because a lot, I mean, everybody picks on those movies, but those Fast and Furious movies, I watched every one of them because I love car racing. But the point is, they are like a gold mine as far as the kids love it with the cars and the whole nine yards.
Right.
Like all kind of movies like that, they should have, I like half the kids, I love it. Casablanca scene's one of my favorite, but
right.
Nobody knows who Humphrey Bogart is,
right.
And they don't care to know. And it's sad, but they really don't.
Right.
I mean, how many times you flick across your TV or go in a house, you see a younger generation watching any old movies?
No, they're watching YouTube or Netflix,
yes,
or whatever.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think they dropped the ball with – they should have added like a Fast and a Furious or what's another couple of the latest movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Just some of the classics of today, I guess, or whatever.
Put
that,
Star,
you know,
Wars something in there they should have done after, yeah, they bought it right away. There should have been a Star Wars scene in there.
Right.
Should have had a Darth Vader standing in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, they missed the boat, and for many years, as you know, it virtually stayed the same year after year after year after year, and it didn't build an audience. I mean, like I said, for those that loved it, they love it and continue to love it, but for those that could take it or leave it, they tend to say leave it because there's nothing for them there. Those are just 30-year-old movies that my parents saw and I've never even seen. And I, you know, I don't have – oh, I mean, I guess The Wizard of Oz is probably an exception.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
classic.
Everyone knows that.
Yes.
You know, has probably seen it at least once, I would think. But, you know, other than that, though, I mean, the rest of them are, you know, kind of tough to take. I mean – you know, I enjoy them, but
as big as Pandora was when it came out, I mean, you should have put an Avatar in there immediately.
Yeah.
To promote it. You know, yeah. I mean, what would it hurt like they do at the studios over at the One Man's Dream where they play the clips?
Yeah.
Maybe they,
yeah,
should add an area that got changed out where you can change scenes in there to upgrade to something newer. Keep some of the old stuff, like John Wayne, the whole nine yards. But I'll tell you what, the old hunting scene, the shooting scene, that's like not even fun to me anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, you've probably seen it literally dozens of times. I mean, there's no thrill in it. And, you know, but again, the mechanism, I mean, if you look at it for what it is a pretty cool thing. It's just you've seen it so many times. You'd prefer to see something a little different or change it up or
maybe get rid
of it.
Yeah, I like the interactive scene where the bank – but how many times is that guy going to jump on and run me away? And half the kids are like, what is a gangster?
Right, right.
You know,
how come
I mean,
he's talking funny?
Yeah, he's thinking gangster rap. You know what I'm
right,
saying? He's thinking,
right,
you know what, Tupac or Puffy or, you know, when you say – and nothing against it. I, you know, they're great. You know, that's what it is today. I mean, you right, say to a kid gangster and he's going to start naming rappers.
Right, right.
You're not going to name Humphrey Bogart or Dillinger, you know.
Right. Right.
You know, maybe they should change the scene up to something more to this era.
Yep.
To make kids want to go back on it.
No, you're absolutely right. But I think our thoughts on this are, you know, going to fall on deaf ears because I think whatever's going to happen has already been decided.
It's gone, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, unfortunately. And, you know, it'll be a sad day, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that something happens, and it doesn't happen. But I think we know. I think we both know where this is heading.
No, absolutely. It's going to be sad, and I hope you're right with the facade. But I think I'm going to be right. I think it's gone.
Yeah, probably. But we shall see, and we will cover it in full here on the WDW Main Street podcast. Let's see. One last story I have: special flag retreat ceremony to honor Walt Disney. World War II veterans. The Magic Kingdom presented a special flag treat ceremony on June 6th at the Magic Kingdom. In association with Disney's Salute Disney Resource Group, the ceremony honored World War II veterans in remembrance of D-Day. In attendance were veterans from the Orlando VA Medical Center who served in World War II and the Vietnam War. The special flag retreat ceremony took place at 5 p.m. on June 6th in the town square on Main Street, USA. The Salute Group commits to providing a military perspective to enhance the cast and guest experience at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort. And that's always cool to see. I'm sure you've seen the flag retreat many times, or at least a couple of times. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Even though it happened a few days ago, we just wanted to read it to say thank you guys and God bless you guys. And that was a real generation there.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for them.
Yeah, we wouldn't be living like we are, that's for sure, for good or for bad.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the point. I mean, God bless them for what they did, and my hat's off to them. Every chance you get, you see a soldier, respect them and thank them. Yep. Because without them, things wouldn't be as pretty as they are. There'd be no Disney World.
No, yeah, that's for sure. And you wouldn't be able to get a stamp to go on the beach, right?
No, yeah, exactly. Or I wouldn't be out of the joy of tea, Dennis.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
The lucky combo for $10.98. I wouldn't be out to enjoy that.
Exactly.
But no, guys, and I'm sorry again for our rant and rave, but that's what we do here at the pub. We complain, but we have fun doing it.
But, yeah.
So that's all the stories I have too, Dan. If you guys can, please head over to It's All in WDW and check out Bob's great post. And don't forget our good friends over at the Garden Grocer. If you could head over to our website, It's All in WDW, and place your next order for your trip to Disney World, because they supplied all the fruit here for our drinks again today, Dan.
Yep, they sure did. All the limes and lemons and all of the citrus and fruit that we use in the mixed drinks all comes from Garden Grocer. So that good stuff.
They deliver well. They were on time again. We were both late. The delivery was outside the door. Well, what happened today was John's usually here early. He's cleaning off the tap. He's making sure all the beer's flowing right, because he don't want what happened to him at the Rose and Crown to ever happen here at the Main Street Pub.
Right. I don't even bring my key anymore. I know he's gonna be here early. So
yeah, thank God I brought mine today, or we would have never got in here to do the show.
That's true.
But anyway, John makes sure the beer's at the perfect temperature. I mean, he even cleans out the filtration system in this place just to make sure the beer flows perfectly. I seen him cleaning out lines the other day.
He's dedicated.
So anyway, but today with him not being here, the Garden Grocery couldn't get in. All of our stuff was waiting out. The gentleman was waiting outside for us. So we thanked him for showing up. We got some nice meat. We're going to make up some nice lunch and drink a couple more beers then and call it a day. What do you think?
Sounds good.
But yes, guys, please head over to our website and check out our fine sponsors. You can find John at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at Grumpy 6767. You can find Bob at It's All in WDW. And you can find us all here at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. Everybody be safe and kind to one another and have a wonderful week. And we'll talk to you real soon.
See you later.
Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.